This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
Hey guys, it is Trish Blackwell. You are listening to Confidence on the Go. This is episode number 74, and I am so glad you're here. We have an exciting episode, one that's particularly close to my heart, talking about upping your joy. And this is actually kind of like a mega episode because I've got three things that I'm going to deliver to you this week. The first thing is 10 ways to immediately increase your joy, 10 ways that you can proactively choose joy every day. I believe joy is a choice. It's something I've learned over the years and had to struggle through and fight for myself. It's something that was taught to me, but I had to really live it out and embrace it. And I'll tell you, it changed my life. Joy is an amazing just character trait and choice that we choose. This state of heart and state of seeing the world. And so it doesn't mean that your circumstances are easy or that life's a beach. It just means that your outlook and your perspective is in such a way and it comes from such a pure sense of gratitude and appreciation that you are actually empowered, that whatever comes your way, you're strong enough. You're ready. You embrace, you accept, you rise to the challenge. And you actually engage in life and live in life. So, like I said, this is going to be a good episode. I think really because selfishly, I love the concept of joy. We're going to go over 10 ways for you to personally increase your joy. We're also going to do and cover 7 joy killers. That is the 7 things that you need to avoid that a lot of times we engage in that are possibly stealing your joy from you right now. I'm calling that the joy blacklist. So blacklisting those things, those 7 things. And then we're going to close out today with 12 small ways that you can spread joy to others in big ways. That's what's so beautiful about joy, is that just small ways of investing in joy in yourself and in others pays off big and giant dividends. But first, before we dive in, I obviously need to welcome any new listeners. A huge virtual hug, high five, welcome. We are a community. This is not just a podcast. This is a community of people who celebrate and encourage one another. So thank you for stumbling upon the show and welcome back to all of my returning listeners. You guys, you make this what it is every week. And, you know, I'm actually recording this on a Wednesday. And if you are a loyal part of this community, you know that is, gosh, I think that might be the first time this has ever happened. It's very uncharacteristic of me. I always record on Tuesdays. I always post on Tuesdays. But as many of you know, I am now 16 weeks pregnant. And yesterday, I was flat out exhausted. I had nothing in me, like nothing. I actually canceled a few appointments yesterday. My morning was very full. And to be honest, I had a 4-hour hair appointment that exhausted me. That was it. I listened to my body and I had to relax. So thank you for those of you who understood that this, you know, I know this is sometimes a part of your Tuesday routine and understanding that it needed to be part of your Wednesday routine this week. So I feel much better this morning. I am revving and ready to go. And I promise you, the episode's gonna be twice as good today as it would have been yesterday had I tried to record. So it's all good, but thank you guys for understanding. Also, huge thank you to Fully Thrive for the review in iTunes you left for the show this week. That's huge. I always give a shout out to the people who are leaving reviews in iTunes because that's how more people come to the show. That's how we can spread the love and keep this growth of confidence growing. And confidence is empowering and everyone needs more of it. So the more people that we can spread that love to, the better. And that's not about me. Please don't write reviews for me. Write them for the people who you care about, that you want to stumble upon the show and find the show and be inspired. And then before we launch, I also want to give a big congratulations to my one of my very, very, very good friends, Nicole. She married her best friend, Steve Camelli, this weekend. We got to spend a week down in the Outer Banks, and it was beautiful. I got to work from the beach. It was just it was awesome. And my puppy Finnegan had his first experience at the ocean, and he hates the waves, but he liked the sand. So it was, you know, it was fun. But it was, you know, the greatest thing about seeing people get married, obviously, is the love and joy that they share. And it was just a beautiful outdoor wedding on the Outer Banks Sound. But the thing I think I enjoyed the most, aside from the great dancing, was the fact that Steve is a restaurant owner actually in downtown Fredericksburg, and he's a huge, huge foodie. And I'm not kidding you guys, I've never had such great food at a wedding. I've never seen so many lobsters in my life, like ever. Like, it was extraordinary. It was just an inordinate amount of lobster. You had lobster, you had lobster tail, you had steak, you had ahi tuna, there was chicken, there was barbecue, there was cheese platters galore, and it was all gourmet and all buffet style, so you could sort of just help yourself. It was sort of like a pregnant woman's heaven. It was fabulous. So, but huge congrats, and that's just always, I'll tell you what, we're talking about joy. Seeing others happy brings me great joy. But let's dive in. And the reason I wanted to talk about joy is, if you heard episode number 73, which was last week's show, we started talking at the end about the concept of joy and that there were two reflection questions that you should be asking yourself every day. Now I'll get to those questions, but first I want to share with you why joy matters to me. And it was, if you've read my book, The Skinny Sexy Mind, which is available on Amazon, you can get it on my website, wherever, you don't even have to read it. But what you do need to know about my book is that that book tracks the end of an eating disorder and the beginning of a new era for me. It goes into my discoveries of what I experienced in France. And the simplest way to express, and I'll give you, you know, I'm going to give away the core and the crux of the book right now, but what changed my life in France and what freed me from my eating disorder and changed my perspective and started my real growth and healing process was that I discovered this French phrase, joie de vivre, which I'm sure many of you have heard before. If you haven't, it just means joy of living. And I do speak French. It's what I studied in school, and having lived there for a year afterwards, I'm passionate about it. And what's so beautiful about that phrase, joie de vivre, is the vivre is actually an infinitive form of the verb to live. And when you, in the French language, when you use an infinitive in that manner, it becomes a command. It is this action, this call to action. So I actually have, you know, I'm pretty preppy. Like, I'm not the girl that you would think has tattoos, right? That phrase means so much to me that I it's my one tattoo. I have actually incorporated an Iron Man MDOT into the tattoo, but that is my tattoo. It is joie de vivre. And it's on my right side of my hip. And it reminds me every day that joie or joy is a choice. And that you get joy by living, by choosing to live. That living is an action. It's a verb. It's something you do. It's not something you sit back on the sidelines. It's not something that you survive. It's not something that you just try to get through. And I want you to know that I had many people in my life for years tell me that life's just about getting by. This is not necessarily what I was taught. Now, I was taught joy. But I wasn't always taught full engagement in life. And so I just encourage you, when you think about that, to think about the things that you've been taught, right or wrong. And don't let go, I guess. Just let go. I think sometimes we get so worked up and we find out something new, or we learn a new perspective that's enlightening or maybe just encouraging. And then we think about, well, gosh, why am I 35 and I never knew this before? And we get a little bit angry and resentful. It's not worth your emotional energy. Don't do it. Embrace something new and realize that every day is an opportunity for new growth. And that applies to every single one of us. So, you know, the day I realized what this joie de vivre meant, and you know, and I did it, I realized by watching people in France. And let me give you a little bit of context. So, you know, I mentioned I was a French major, graduated from Davidson College, and I didn't want to be a teacher. So, but I didn't know I was a French major, Spanish minor. What was I going to do with languages? I didn't know. And all I knew was that I loved languages. So what did I do? I moved to France and I got a job working in for the French government as a English teacher for elementary and middle schools. They placed me in a town in southwest France in the Dordogne region close to Bordeaux, and which was wonderful for someone who loves wine like myself. And what the funny thing is the French government being the way that it is, subsidized everything for me. I mean, when I got an apartment and a flat and they said, you make this much money, we only think you can afford this, you can pay 75 euros a month. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so I actually got paid full time for working about 8 hours a week. Now, I had to walk between schools. I worked at 5 or 6 schools in this town. I didn't have a car, I didn't have a bicycle. So I did a lot of walking each day. And I would walk to one school, teach a class, walk to the other, you know, 2 miles away, teach a class. But the funny thing about the French are that sometimes halfway through the day, they're like, nah, we don't want English today, and don't show up tomorrow. So often I found myself with hours upon hours upon hours of free time. And for somebody that's a type A personality like me, that's driven, and I've been like that my whole life, it was just a complete halt on my lifestyle, complete change. And so when you go from being busy 70 hours a week to working full time at 8 hours a week, when you're really probably only working 4, because half the time they don't want their English class, well, you do a lot of sitting at cafes, and I drank a lot of coffee and I had a lot of glasses of wine at these outdoor cafes, and I did a lot of observing. Now, I sat in my French dictionary and looked up every word I could think of, but I also just watched people. And what I noticed in watching in all this free time that I had and really just studying the French movement, like the movement of each individual that passed me on the sidewalk, the interaction between families and friends, but also the movement of that, the culture of that small town, Périgueux. And watching that, I realized that the French have this joie de vivre, this French phrase is actually so integrated into their lifestyle that they really do have joy. Like they find pleasure in the small things. If you've ever seen the movie Amélie, you know what I'm talking about. If you've not, it's a great French film about a girl who just takes pleasure in the small things of life. One of my favorite books that I picked up when I was in France and kind of thinking about this whole concept of joy and joie de vivre it's a book called Le Premier, Le Premier Gorgée de la Bière, which means the whole book is called The First Sip of the Beer, of Beer. And in each story, it's a compilation of about 70 stories, short stories that are about one page long. And each story simply describes 2 pages about what, and I don't even like beer, but what once that first sip of beer, what it feels like, the sensation, the emotional experience of that first petit plaisir, that first small pleasure. And so there are other stories in that book, like about the train stations, the metro stations that have moving sidewalks, what it's like to get on a moving sidewalk and step onto it. 2 full pages describing that simple joy. And that book and that concept transformed me and made me realize that these small pleasures in life, that is where we can really start igniting our joy and awakening it in the smallest ways. Because like I said earlier, it's that small investment in joy that pays huge, huge dividends. And so now that you know sort of my background on joy and why this is so integral to me and important to me, and after France, you guys, France was this pivotal point in my life that everything changed. I know it was for a multitude of reasons, but one of those primary reasons was joy. Everything changed. I became happier. I became healthier. My attitude was more confident. I was more optimistic. I was more engaged and connected to life. And a lot of that was attributed to this phrase, joie de vivre, or joy, and the concept that I wanted to live, that I wanted to be proactive about how I lived. And I didn't want to miss those small pleasures, literally stop and smell the flowers. And so giving you the definition of joy, what is joy? Joy defined is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. It's keen pleasure or elation. And I got a quote from the great poet John Keats, and I just love it. I think it's beautiful because joy is so hard to capture. But I think when we think about the small pleasures that bring so much beauty to our life, that That to me is joy. And he wrote, a thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness. And so the reflection questions that we thought about that I mentioned last week that I want to challenge you today to sit down and write out. And these are available in my show notes. If you don't know, I keep show notes at my website, trishblackwell.com/podcasts. And then you can just go and find your episode number, which is 74 for today's show. And you'll have these two questions. But question number one is, have you found joy in your life? And question number two is, has your life brought joy to others? And before I give some elaboration on those two questions, I want to share one more quote that I got for you guys today from Greg Anderson. And I think this is, again, tying in with the concept that we can find joy when we find pleasure in the small things. And when we slow down to really appreciate those small things. The quote says, focus on the journey, not the destination. Joy is found not in finishing an activity, but in doing it. And so if we could find a way to appreciate doing an activity versus just completing it, it's another way to find that petit plaisir, that small joy. So the questions again are, have you found joy in your life? And has your life brought joy to others? And I thought I would start you off because I really urge you, encourage you to write your answers down to these questions. There is so much power in writing activities. Take 5 minutes of your time today to do that. But I will get you started and motivated with sharing my personal answers to those. Number one, my answer to the first question, have you found joy in your life? And the answer is yes. I find it in a multitude of places. I discovered it in France and just the concept as an adult I did. But I find it in my relationship with God. I find it in the small pleasures of life. Like I said, the les petits plaisirs. I find it in writing. I find it in movement. I find it in optimism. I find it in the celebration of things. I find it in learning. I find it in the sunrise. I find it in the cool breeze of the fan that's over top my bed. I find it in brushing my teeth, that clean feeling. I find it wherever and whenever I can. And like I said, this is a new concept for me as an adult as of 8 years ago when I came back from France. But there's an additional concept that I learned that as a child that my mom taught me. And I have a very distinct memory of this. I was about 5 years old. I was trying to unload the dishwasher. It was my chore for the day, and I was doing it with a really terrible attitude. And when my mom saw me, and she taught me something that I will never forget, and that I've tried to implement, and not always successfully, but it really stuck with me. And she said, she calls me Trisha, not Trish. Trisha, everything you do matters. And God cares about your attitude. This is not a good... You're not doing this, unloading the dishwasher to the best of your ability. What would happen if you changed your attitude and sang a song while you unloaded the dishwasher? And you really gave it your best attitude and your best heart. I think you'll find joy in that dishwasher. And as a five-year-old... I mean, gosh, I'm 31 years old. I have not forgotten that lesson. Now, I don't always live that lesson out. But that's a vivid memory for me. And that's something that I want to make sure that I continue to live out and that I eventually instill in my own children. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing, to ask yourself as when you're thinking about where do I find joy in my life? Are you finding joy in the work that you do? Are you finding joy in the people you interact with that maybe you don't always like? And I think you can find joy. The reason I share that story is because I think you can really find joy when you shift your attitude. Even if you don't like the activity, even if you struggle with patience with that personality that you're having a conflict with, if you change your attitude and say, you know what, in everything I do, my attitude matters. Even in the small things, even as this thing that I dread, what would happen if I changed my attitude? I think that your whole personality shifts. That interaction or that chore changes. It transforms. It's amazing. And it really works. And so my answer to the second question, guys, is has your life brought joy to others? You know, that's something I hope and pray for. And it's something that I ask myself every day, or at least again, I try to ask myself every day when there are days I forget, there are days I get too busy to really reflect on that. And that's not okay, but that is life. And, you know, I look at interactions with people as these are opportunities to bring small joys. Texting a friend, being kind to a cashier, going out of your way for a neighbor, picking up the dog poop that nobody's going to notice if you do or not. All those little things, like has your life brought joy to others? Again, we can't forget that the small things are what really, really make a difference. And so let's go into the things that steal our joy first. I have seven ways that we kill and squash our own joy. It's like we self-sabotage, we shoot ourselves in the foot, and then we wonder why we can't run. And the first one on that list is, these are in no particular order, but comparing yourself to others. Comparison is the thief of joy, period. There's nothing good that comes out of comparing yourself to others. And let's face it, every single one of us does it. Every single one of us. So how do we break free of that? Well, I think through awareness, and then I think through just intentionality, being intentional, finding yourself, comparing yourself and realizing, but then reframing that and saying that they're doing their journey, I'm doing mine. You know, as being pregnant, it's so easy to fall into this trap. So-and-so was showing less than I am at this number of weeks. I wonder what's wrong with me. Or I'm showing more or less. Or she had this happen. There's nothing good that comes out of that. And so I have to, you know, reframe yourself. Pregnancy is such an easy example, but this goes to anything in life. And reframe it and go, this is my journey. This is my life. This is my body. And I'm different and unique from everyone. And I'm not meant to be an imitation of anybody else. So why am I wasting my emotional energy? And it's usually a lot of emotional energy, let's be honest, comparing myself. There's just no point. Also on the joy blacklist, we have perfectionism. And you guys, you could probably search the archives of Confidence on the Go and find an episode on all of these. So if you want to get more in depth, I can almost guarantee you there's about 45 minutes to an hour on each one of these subjects. But perfectionism gets us nowhere. Perfectionism is a giant lie, and it's a disguised excuse. But more than that, it prevents us from living. It prevents us from engaging and from stepping out, and actually it keeps us on the sidelines. It keeps us from living. Number three, on the joy blacklist is underestimating your worth. I'm reading a really interesting book right now called The Confidence Code. And I mean, I'm not very far into it, but I highly recommend it so far. And studies show that women in particular consistently underestimate our performances. Men consistently overestimate their success and their performances by 30%. Women consistently cross the bar, top athletes, top CEOs, you know, huge politicians, big, big successful women, and us regular women all have the same struggle. We think that we're not ready until we're 100% ready. So we underestimate our readiness. And that ties in, that's really going hand in hand with perfectionism. Stop questioning, stop doubting, stop saying that you're not ready, and just step out and say, I'm ready. Because it really kills your joy. It prevents you from stepping out and again, engaging in life. Joy comes from engaging in life. But if you never choose to step out and engage in it, you're never going to be able to find that joy and that elation that is available to you. Number four, striving for external measures of success is another way that you get caught up in this crazy cycle that zaps your happiness. And I've done it. I'm sure you've done it. It's like that mouse, that hamster wheel or mouse maze that you can't get out of. You want to step off the treadmill, but you can't get off. And the problem with measuring yourself, your worth by your external success or any external measures is that no matter what, you're always going to fall short. And if your happiness is based on a certain destination, and every time you get to that destination moves, it's a moving finish line. There's no way you're ever going to be happy. There's no way you're ever going to have joy. You've got to stop. Find a way to stop that. Because like we said, like that quote I shared earlier from Greg Anderson, focus on the journey, not the destination. Joy is found in finishing the activity, not in finishing the activity, but doing it. We got to strive for measures of internal success, not external. Our fifth way to really sabotage your joy is to try to do it all. And I've struggled with this in the past. I certainly have, which is why yesterday actually was a triumph for me to say, I just can't deliver a great podcast today. I'm making a human being. I'm tired. And that's a personal example, but I know there are examples in your life that maybe you need to say no. Maybe your relationship with your husband's going down the drain because you're saying yes to every little opportunity to volunteer and get involved in the community because you think you feel bad for saying no and you want everybody to like you, but it's at the cost of not spending quality time with your husband or your family. You know, say no. You can't do it all. You just can't. You something's got to give. You can do everything well. Certainly, you can do what you do well, but you can't do everything great. So what do you want to be great at? It might behoove you to write a list of what are my top priorities. What do I want to be really great at? Do I want to be a really great wife or husband or mother and a really great mother and father and great at my job and great in my community and great at my marathons? Or make your priorities, but you can't have them all. You can be good at them all, but you can't have everything as a priority. So you really can't do it all successfully and be happy because you're just going to be drained. Number six, agonizing over past mistakes. This is something we struggle letting go. Just let go. Your past mistakes don't define you. I'm going to repeat that. You are not who you were. And I think so often we get caught into that thinking that's how I was, that's how I am. I struggled with that the first few years of recovery from my eating disorder. First few years I was in the fitness industry, this giant fear that what if I slip? What if I backslide? What if I go back to how I was? But what I need you to hear today, and I know we've all experienced that in some capacity, this fear of, well, I used to do this and I don't like that about myself and I'm so afraid I'm going to go back to that place. But I want you to hear me clearly. Just the mere fact that you're listening to a podcast of this type, and I'm sure you listen to other shows that are similar, and investing in your mental education, your mind, investing in your thought education, in how to control your thoughts and how to control your attitude and choose the right attitude. The mere fact that you are part of a community and a person who's pursuing that says to me that you're a completely different person now than you ever were before. Furthermore, you have the tools and you are well equipped to choose more wisely than you ever did before. So it's like you fought a battle before with the wrong weapons. You now have the right weapons, so you will win. So you've got to let go of your past mistakes and stop being afraid that you're gonna make them again, because you're not. You're different. And then finally, number seven, focusing on the shoulds and shouldn'ts. And that goes a lot in with comparison, comparing yourself to others and the danger of that. Because when we compare ourselves to others, we think, oh, I should do this, or I shouldn't have done that. Or again, it ties in with that external measure of success. Oh, I should have made this decision because I could have maybe gotten that promotion, which then would make me look better for this. And guys, it doesn't matter. There's no should or shouldn't. Again, it's a journey. Embrace that journey and stop beating yourself up for things that you think things of the past, things you think you should have done or shouldn't have done. Should have, would have, could have, it doesn't matter. Now let's talk about some good things. Let's talk about 10 ways that you can really invest in your joy. And these are simple. A lot of these you've heard me say before, but I wanted to compile and put them all into one place for you. Number one, investing your joy. Do a gratitude journal. I'm telling you, that is probably hands down the best thing I've done as far as a daily discipline. And it does, it centers me. It just brings me to a place of peace and just gratefulness. And, you know, this morning I have a I have a presentation this evening, and I'm actually a little bit nervous about it, or at least I was, and didn't sleep well, kind of toss and turn, a little bit of anxiety. And it was actually this morning doing the gratitude journal and getting to write down that I was grateful for an opportunity to battle anxiety, for an opportunity to practice my confidence firsthand, to stand up and say to this worry or the fear of speaking or whatever it is, you know, we all get that, and say, no, I'm doing this and I'm speaking to this group of women and girls because I want to love on them. And you can't change that love. Now, there are probably going to be things at the end of that presentation I could say, oh, I should have said this, or I shouldn't have gone this route with it. But what good does that do? And you know what? It doesn't even matter, because today I centered myself and said, I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak to these women. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to practice saying no to worry and yes to confidence. So there's a lot of power in gratitude journal. In fact, countless studies have shown that the effects of gratitude exercises on positive outlook are really impactful. One study conducted by a positive psychologist, Martin Seligman, asked participants who considered themselves severely depressed to write down three good things that happened to them each day for 15 days. Here's the kicker. 94% of subjects reported a decrease in depression, while 92% said their happiness had increased. Did you hear that? In the 90s percentile, all they did was write down three good things that happened to them each day for 15 days. I'm telling you, joy can happen in any circumstance. And it happens in the small actions and the small things that you do. All right, second way to invest in your joy is to bring joy to others. And we'll expand upon that concept with the 12 small ways that you can bring joy in big ways to others. But bringing joy to others brings joy to you. Number three, decide that happiness is part of your character. I think that's just a fundamental shift in your attitude. Decide that happiness is part of your character. It's easier said than done. But for those of you who maybe struggle with anxiety or depression or just this kind of teeter-tottering back and forth of appreciating life and then getting really stressed out, I would challenge you with that question. Is happiness a part of my character? Because happiness and joy are pals. And if you, again, if you just start telling yourself that I'm inherently a happy and joyful person. Now, I haven't quite arrived at expressing that how I want to yet, but it's in there and it's who I am. And so I'm going to work on that expression. By just simply changing that shift and telling yourself that that's who you are, you will start becoming that person and you will start expressing it more effectively. Number four, set goals and work towards them. And again, it's not achieve the goals. It's working towards that goal, because as we work towards a goal and as we journey towards a destination, there's a lot of elation that comes from seeing small steps of success, small steps of progress, and also the pride that comes from following through, and the self-affirmation and the self-esteem that gets built from being somebody that follows through on what they say they're going to do. So set goals and work towards them. Number five, let go. And that goes in with what we talked about earlier on the joy blacklist. Sometimes you just gotta let go. Stop thinking about your past mistakes. Stop underestimating your worth. Stop focusing on shoulds and shouldn'ts. Let go. Number six, live out your values. Oh my gosh. If you are consistently the person who you want to be, you will find great joy in being you. Never compromise your values. I don't care who's not looking or who's looking or who notices and who doesn't or what the circumstances are. In your heart of hearts, you know that it matters. So stick with your values and be a person of integrity. Number seven. Oh, I love this. And I know for sure, an episode in Confidence on the Go called Have to Get to. And here's what it is change your quote, I have to I get to. So rather than saying, I have to exercise today, I get to exercise today. I have four limbs. I get to exercise. I have the ability to go into a gym. I have a beautiful neighborhood outside that I can run in that's safe or walk in. For me today with my presentation, I have to give a presentation today. No, I get the opportunity to expand my heart and love on some women and girls, and hopefully encourage and inspire them. That's an amazing opportunity. So get to versus have to. It's an amazing shift. And if you're not yet doing that, write that down. Get to, have to. And I encourage you to listen to that episode. Number eight, let go of feeling busy. And that goes in with what we talked about, how trying to do it all can really kill your joy. I think there, we take so much pride as a society in saying, oh, I only get 5 hours. Oh, I only need 5 hours of sleep. And oh, I'm so busy. And no, yeah, I get it all done. It's no problem. But inside, we're lying to ourselves. We're not happy. We are so fixated on impressing others that we sacrifice our own joy. Trying to get it all done and do everything is there's nothing praiseworthy about that. Somehow we've this twisted perspective that there is, but there's not. So let go of that feeling busy and let yourself just be. Let yourself cut some things out. Number nine, celebrate the good you see in others. I mean, really celebrate the good you see in others. Be happy for their success. And I know sometimes that's hard, particularly if it's a peer of yours and they get the raise that you want, or their husband gets a raise and they get a new car, but you're struggling to pay your mortgage. That's hard. But I promise you, if you just really choose joy and think about sending it their way and be happy for them, you will increase your joy. You will be happy for them and it will come back to you. Really celebrate the good you see in others. See the good that happens in their life. See the good that they're displaying. Compliment them. Celebrate their wedding. Celebrate their baby's birthday. Just be somebody who celebrates others in every capacity. And then finally, number 10, the 10th way to really invest in your joy is to reframe your fate positively. Or another way to say it is expect the best. I learned this trick a few years ago myself, and it really does work. It's expecting the best. I expect good things to happen. Not saying that I always expect a front row parking spot at Walmart, but I do. When I get a front row, I'm like, oh, this is lovely. When I have to walk from the very back, I'm fine with that too. But I expect the best. I expect that things will work out. I expect when I have to spend 20 minutes on the phone with a billing company over some mistake, I expect that I'm going to get a great person who's going to give great customer service. And when they don't, I give them the benefit of the doubt that they had a bad day. But I expect that I'll be able to talk to somebody above them and just that the situation is going to be worked out. I don't let myself get stressed out. I expect that it's all going to work out. And that's such an amazing and freeing shift that will bring your life so much joy. And then let's go into the 12 ways you can spread the love to those around you, because joy contained isn't really joy. Joy is something that overflows from us and is really shared. And you think about the people in your life that you're magnetized to. I would challenge you to think, ask yourself if joy is a characteristic and trait that you would put with them. This joie de vivre, this love of life, is that what they have? So here are 12 ways to really just spread the love. Number one, compliment freely. Every single time you think something positive about somebody, tell them. Whether you're telling somebody else, whether in their room, you tell them right to their face. The more we practice complimenting one another and complimenting freely, being loose with our compliments, the more joy it's going to bring others, but also ourselves. Number two, thank your parents for loving you unconditionally. I know parents don't get thanked enough. I know maybe if your parents, if you don't have a relationship with your parents anymore, or maybe they're no longer here, thank a mentor for the role that they've played in your life. Thank somebody for something you know you've already thanked them, but let them know really how profoundly they've affected your life. Number three, be a mentor. I mean, a mentor is 360-degree leadership. You, as a mentor and just as a human being, you have the ability to positively impact people above you, so to speak, below you, so to speak. That means age-wise, socioeconomic status-wise, in your workplace-wise, and then also laterally. like to your peers, your coworkers, your husband, your wife. That's a full circle. Like, realize that just being yourself and being somebody who's choosing joy, you're mentoring others. Number four, appreciate loosely. And so that's kind of like compliment freely. I want you to appreciate loosely, meaning that you are just loose with your appreciation, meaning that you show appreciation to the little people, to everybody you think about, everybody you interact with. You just express gratitude. Number five, choose happiness and set the example. Literally, choose happiness and joy and set the example. Your example, your choice in the decisions and in your circumstances, they're being watched. People are watching you, and you can set an example that people will emulate. And when they emulate your example, they're increasing the joy in their lives. They need somebody to watch. So why not you? Why can't you be that person? Number six, sprinkle kindness everywhere you go. Literally, just that, oh my gosh, small acts of kindness go so, so far to bring joy to somebody's day. Number seven, refuse to participate in gossip. By participation, listening is part of it. One of my mentors is just so honest with me. And she says, Trish, did you walk away? That conversation was going on, but did you walk away? I know you didn't say anything, but did you walk away from that conversation? Did you refuse to engage by listening? Because listening is engaging in gossip, and gossip gets nowhere. Gossip tears people down. It's the opposite of bringing joy to people. So refuse to participate in gossip. Never partake in negativity. Never. So when you're at work and everyone's complaining, and yeah, you don't like the policy change either, and accept it. Be honest. Say, I'm not a huge fan of this change, but it is what it is. So let's stop wasting our emotional energy. I don't want this to steal joy from my life. I don't want to get worked up about this. It's not worth my time. My life is more valuable. So refuse to really partake in that negativity. That's everywhere. But you have the power to step away. And by stepping away, you're being an example, and you will help others increase their joy. Number nine, believe in yourself. By believing in yourself, others are going to watch you and go, wow, she thinks she can do anything. Well, I'm kind of just like her. If she can do it, then I can do it. And so your example of believing yourself is showing somebody else how to do the same thing. And we all know, because we listen to Confidence on the Go, that the more you believe in yourself, the more you're actually going to be able to accomplish. The more you accomplish, the more your confidence grows. The more your confidence grows, the more you conquer in life. Like, you absolutely, undoubtedly are unstoppable. Number 10, encourage and believe in others. So it's not just the example. It doesn't suffice it just to say that you're going to be an example to others by believing yourself, but believe in yourself and then take the effort to have those conversations, to compliment somebody, to inspire them, to say, listen, I believe in you. I know you can do this. I believe in your success. I can already see you being successful. Now, I know so often we think these things, but we don't say them enough. Say them directly to the person. Start that awkward conversation. I know the timing's never right. They're not often going to bring it up that they're struggling with self-doubt and insecurity and fear. So be that person to speak life into them. Number 11, celebrate others' successes and joys. We've already talked about that a little bit, but really celebrate one another's successes and joys. And 12, this is just a small one, send snail mail. Write somebody a thank you note. Write somebody just a, hey, I'm just thinking about you. I haven't talked to you on the phone for a year, but I want you to know I love you. Huge. That goes so far. So that's it for our 7 ways that we self-sabotage our joy, our 10 ways to invest in our joy, and the 12 ways to invest in others. And I do have something special today. I got an email that I want to address because I think it might apply to a lot of us out there. I got a question. So we're going to call this the question of the episode. This is via email from our listener, Maggie. So Maggie wrote this. Hi, Trish. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year or more now, and finally feel I can step outside of my comfort zone and ask a totally stupid question. And Maggie, this is not a stupid question. I am 50 next month, been emotionally eating for a few years now to compensate for an unhappy marriage, and have gone from around 70 kilograms, which is about 140 pounds, to nearly 100 or 200 pounds, and a size 12 or 14 to size 18. I've just started running again, and after a bad ankle sprain earlier in the year, and in doing couch to 5K. I have no idea how to get this weight off except starve, and that doesn't seem like the right thing to do. So question, if I run the couch to 5K twice a day, will that help increase my fitness twice as fast, or is that pointless? I'm stuck. I know I need to move more, but as an introverted introvert, I hate gyms. But now I'm so big I can barely do basic exercises. Apart from the couch to 5K, as often as I can move my bum, where can I start? I understand if this doesn't get answered, but it's worth a shot. And Maggie, it will get answered, and you are worth having that answer. And let me tell you, I know there's a lot of other listeners out there that are struggling with the same thing. So let me put my personal training hat on for just a minute and let you know that the best way to get unstuck when you're feeling just gross in your skin and like you can't do anything is first write a list of 5 things that you love about yourself. And I want you to write those things about anything that comes to mind. It could be your fingernails. It could be the freckles on your nose that you like. But find a way to center your mind to stop calling yourself fat. I skipped over it, but you called yourself fat. And I want you to know that you are not fat. You may be carrying some extra fat, but when you use the phrase that you're fat, you're internalizing that as a part of your identity. Maggie, it's not part of your identity. And anybody else listening out there that this message resonated with, it's not who you are. You are simply carrying extra fat. Now that, and I agree that that's unhealthy. So we do need to change that. But first, let's change your vocabulary and how you speak about yourself. So no, you're not fat. You're currently at an unhealthy weight that you would like to change. And that's great. We have a solution. And here's the beautiful thing about weight loss. It's a lot simpler than we often think it is. There are a few ways that I work with clients that I can get major change. Number one, to sleep more. As long as you're sleeping 7 to 8 hours, you're doing great. If you're sleeping less than that, you're sabotaging your metabolism severely. So sleep more, stress less. Yeah, stress actually increases your cortisol levels. Cortisol increases your belly fat. It's a bad thing. So the less stress that you can have, the better. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's why I have my show. That's why everything we talked about today about joy is going to help decrease your stress. Number three, drink more water. You want to shoot for 1 ounce of water per pound of body weight per day. So and that's to lose weight. So you're going to feel like you're peeing all the time, but that's okay. You're flushing out a lot of toxins. Another way to think about it is to drink a gallon of water a day. That'd be a great start as well. And I would encourage myself by getting a big bottle. I like to drink out of big bottles and take a Sharpie and just track how many you've had throughout the day. So maybe you have a bottle that you know you need to drink 5 of them throughout the day. So make a little check mark so you can see that success. You need to see that progress, even if it's just through drinking water. So we've got sleep more, stress less, drink more water. I need you to continue moving. Yes, moving matters, but doing your couch to 5K program twice in one day is not going to get you faster results. It's just going to probably get you injured. If you feel good and you want to do extra exercise, that's fine. In fact, you might want to consider training for a 10K. You want to shoot for at least 45 minutes of cardiovascular exercise per day. Another key to weight loss is doing strength training. Yeah, strength training is easy. And you know what? What's great, Maggie, is that you don't have to go to a gym. You can do bodyweight strength stuff and strengthen your house. I have a whole YouTube channel. You can look on YouTube at Trainer Trish. And I have a lot of videos that I've shot in the past couple of years that have my exercises of stuff I do at home that doesn't require equipment. But maybe what might be better for you is to know that I have 2 apps out there that are really meant for people like you or people who are traveling and don't have access to a gym. And I created these apps because I wanted an app for someone who maybe can't afford a gym, doesn't want to go to a gym, or a variety of other reasons. But if you look up in iTunes and look up Workout Randomizer, it's Workout Randomizer. It's a push button app that generates millions. I want to say it's over 7 million potential strength workouts. And they're all workouts that you can be done at home. And I have videos of myself doing the exercises and explaining the exercises in full. And it's kind of fun. It's like playing a slot machine. You press the button and it generates, it spins. And then you get, here's your three exercises, do them for this long a time. Here are the videos to them. And then you can repeat the circuit. So I would say you need to also be strength training 3 times a week. And so 3 times a week for at least 30 minutes to start. And you can use that app as a guideline. It's 99 cents. It's just a great guide. And then if you want to incorporate core into that to really start working on some stomach strength for yourself, I have a sister app to that called Ab Randomizer. That's Ab Randomizer. And that one generates 23 million potential core workouts all for 99 cents. And it's again, every exercise that you have in there, there's a video of me doing it and explaining it. So I hope that will be a good solution for you not wanting to go in the gym. I also hope for your sake that you would understand that gyms aren't as intimidating as you might think they might are be. So many people are intimidated, and I understand, but know that most often that people are more worried about themselves than you. So hopefully eventually you'll find a gym that fits right for you. But in the meantime, just get started with those apps, keep moving. And then the final thing with food is there's so many studies that prove that writing down your food, particularly for weight loss, gives you 50% better results. Write down your food. A great app that's free that I recommend to people is MyFitnessPal. That's MyFitnessPal. And it has everything in there. And you can set your daily calorie goal and track as you go. It's an amazing tool. It's very useful, very helpful. And it will help you track all the nutrients as well. And so my final tip for you is to track your sugar count, because sugar is one of the, man, it's hidden everywhere. It's like a cocaine and we're addicted to it. So for major weight loss, I recommend, and for just general health, less than 50 grams of sugar per day at the most. And by tracking your food, that's the best way for you to start knowing. So if that's overwhelming, don't worry. Start with a couple things and then listen to this little portion again and start integrating it in. And guys, I loved having a question. If you have any questions that come up, please don't hesitate to email them to me or leave me a voicemail on my website. I would love to answer them. I'll start trying to answer them on the show. Depending upon how long the question is, that might be an entire show. So usually I won't be able to answer via email. It becomes quite time consuming. And usually when you have a question, there's thousands of other people out there that might have the same question. So Maggie, I hope this helps. And to everyone else whose question would have been the same, here's the most important thing to remember. Everything that you do matters. So every day that you have a great, successful day is a triumph. So I know it's overwhelming when the amount of weight seems so difficult, but you can do it. And Rome wasn't built in a day, and your weight loss is not going to happen in a day. So just be patient with yourself and celebrate each and every pound that you lose, and focus on the end goal, that this matters, that every step in this journey, you can find joy. And I know you can do this. I know you can do this. Okay, let's close out with the listener of the episode. This listener of the episode is Megan. She emailed me and I want to share her success. She writes, "I just wanted to thank you for all the time, energy, and self that you put into each and every one of your podcasts. I've been a listener for a long time now and look forward to every Tuesday or Wednesday, as today is, when I know I'll be getting some more positive motivation. When I first started listening, I was trying to get into shape and have a healthier relationship with food. I've since gotten my eating under control, run 6 half marathons, and am training for my 3rd full marathon." Are you kidding me? That's amazing. That's awesome. "The confidence I feel from having accomplished these goals has spilled into other areas of my life as well. I recently left a job that I wasn't passionate about to start my own business." I mean, huge. That's amazing. Congratulations, Megan. "It has been overwhelming at times, but the insights and motivation I get from listening to your podcasts help me put things into perspective. Thanks again for everything you do." And Megan, I think everybody that's listening is giving you a huge round of applause. That's amazing. 6 half marathons, training for your 3rd marathon, got your eating under control, quit the job you aren't passionate about, started your own business. I mean, that's incredible. And I'm so happy for you. That brings me great joy. So congratulations. And then I have a special announcement. I would love to hang out with you guys. I am going to be presenting live in person. So yes, in person. I'm speaking at the Well 2014 Health and Fitness Influencers Conference that's taking place this October 26th through 28th at Harbortown Golf and Conference Center in St. Michael's, Maryland. The link to the conference for you to check it out is HTTPP. It's eventsbywell.com, eventsbywell.com. And you can get a discount for knowing me and being part of this community by using the code TRISHB. So capital T-R-I and then lowercase R-I-S-H, capital B. And so, guys, I'm excited about that. October 26th through 28th, it's in Maryland, and I just have one presentation. I'm going to be talking about social media and podcasting, but if enough of you let me know that you sign up, we will set up our own mini confidence, hangout. We will absolutely be able to hang out. I want to give you some of my time. We can have a meet and greet. We'll orchestrate something. I need to make sure that a handful of you guys do come. I would love to meet you guys face to face and be part of it with you. So check that out. If you want the website again, you can just check it out in show notes, trishblackwell.com/podcasts. This has been a long episode, and I feel like it makes up a little bit for it being posted 24 hours late. I love y'all. I hope that you choose joy today. And just go rock your day. Choose joy. Joy wins.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.